With us. Okay, so we didn't have enough shiurim last semester, but we tried. You know, it's a new zman, a new opportunity. Okay, so for those who are new, we're learning the Sefer Shomer Emunim, Hakadmon. It's an incredible Sefer of Yosef Ergas, lived in the 17th century. And he wrote a book, really it's a conversation, a debate, or a conversation between a Mekubal and a rationalist. And this more rational Jewish thinker is very bothered by many of the ways that Hasidus, what we would call Hasidus, but what I guess they would call Kabbalah, interprets the Torah. So for those who were here last time, the last topic that they debated was, you know, what's with all these unusual stories of the Torah? And he very strongly defended how there's no stories in the Torah. Everything is revealing something deeper from Yaakov and Lavan's sheep, the names of Esau's descendants. Everything is built layer upon layer, secrets upon secrets. Someone actually just sent me a book in the mail. I think it's called Gematria Reconfigured or something like that. Oh, yeah, someone's holding it already?
I thought he came.
Oh yeah? You met the author. Interesting. So I haven't gotten too far into it yet. But Gematria is definitely an area that people who like to criticize certain dimensions of Torah are quick to criticize. And it's also because, you know, to our dismay, there are people who misuse and abuse Gematria. In other words, there are rules, right? They're halachos. That's what we've been trying to explain. They're halachos to Pnimiyas HaTorah also. You can't just just because everything is found within the Torah and everything can be extracted and there's Ramazim and there's all sorts of illusions, as he's going to talk a lot about tonight, there are still rules. Sometimes the rules are very expansive. Knowing when to apply which rules is also something that takes tremendous wisdom. Okay, but let's see Shaul Thiel's question, because he's very bothered by the world of Remes, the ability to manipulate letters and change letters and cheshbonos, gematrias, etc. Okay, so he says, Kein dibarta, you know, you said good, you explained well last time, with regards to the Sipurei HaMaisim Shabbatara, you've defended, you know, all the stories of the Torah, and how the stories of the Torah contain secrets. Shenamar Aleihem Shenichtavu Lirmoz Eiza Sod Nichmas. That you've explained how each of the stories is somehow revealing some type of hidden secret. See, one of the questions, one of the things that is bothering Shaltiel, so to speak, in his questioning, is why does the Torah have to be so secretive? Why is it written in code? Which is a strange kind of question, because what do you mean? When you have something precious, right? If you own something that's very valuable and you keep it in a safe, so obviously the more precious it is, the more layers of code are going to be required to access it. Right? There's going to be layers of authentication. You have to punch in a code, you have to do an iris scan, you have to do a finger scan, you have to do all these different ways until you're able to unlock it. So he writes to me, he says, but I'm a little confused about how all these system of codes work. I don't really understand some of these ideas that you find in Sifrei Kabbalah. With regards to the arranging or the rearranging of letters, utmuros shel alpha besos, and the exchange of different letters of the aleph beis, the Rashi Tevos, the Sofei Tevos. Right, those of us who learned together in the morning just this week, we had a Shiur on Chodesh Shvat, how every month has a Shem Hashem that corresponds to it. Right, sometimes it's Hashem's name forwards or backwards or inverted, and how it's alluded to in Psukim, the first letters of the Pasuk, the last letters of the Pasuk. Right? If you're an outsider, if you're not familiar with this language, so the whole thing seems kind of crazy, and it seems kind of random. So how do you know when you're allowed to rearrange letters and exchange different letters, and when do Rashi Tevos matter, when do Sofei Tevos matter? You have to understand, Tzaddikim explained that Gematria is like a yichud. Right? When a person's able to say that this and this somehow equate with each other, first of all, you're not putting together two random things. You're recognizing that two things have an inherent connection, and you're just bringing a further remez to that connection. In other words, you don't start with the Gematria and then try to develop the idea. When you have an idea that's inherently true in Torah, so then you could try to recognize other ways in which they're connected. But a gematria is a yichud. A gematria is like a shidduch. So I was thinking a couple of years ago, When it comes to a gematria, when it comes to a shidduch, so sometimes you look at a couple. You look at a couple, right? It could be two people who are dating or two people who are engaged or a couple that's been married for 50 years. And sometimes you look at them and you're like, that makes perfect sense. I totally get that. They make sense. They make sense together. Sometimes you look at a couple, right? And you could, you know, you could perceive them to be very happy, right? Maybe you can even ask them. It's a weird question to ask, but, you know. Let's say you're concerned that maybe they're just faking it. So you find that out, like, tell me the truth. How's your marriage going? No, we're like so happy. And as an outsider, you're looking at them, you're like, they're so different. I don't get how does that work? But somehow it works. So some gematrias are very smooth, very easy to understand how they connect. But sometimes we do all sorts of funny things with the letters. Right? We start to manipulate the letters. And he's going to explain some of his concerns. Again, how do you know? Tmuros alphabesos, roshe tevos, sofe tevos, gematrios, the kiyotze, kihu davar zar. This is a strange methodology. Lahamin shah Torah tisparish v'tuvan alpi elu hadrachim. Yeah, this is really how God wants us to analyze the Torah. Ibn Ezra, in numerous places in his commentary, belittles gematria. He says, you can do whatever you want with gematria. There's so many different techniques you could do. You can basically force it to say anything you want. You could, but there's also rules, right? And tzaddikim play by those rules. And we're not just trying again to force a concept. We're recognizing an inherent concept, and then we're trying to find a further allusion to this idea to show you how in the DNA, so to speak, of the letters. When he's going to quote the famous Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Hey. About the letters being the building blocks of creation. So when we understand that, right? So again, it's not far-fetched to say water is H2O. It's not far-fetched to say salt is NaCl. Right? It's just a different way of saying the same thing, right? But breaking it down to its elements. Okay, so let's see. Umagam, and furthermore, Shebe'inyan ha-gematrios, and this is a big taina people have, Bishalo yavo ha-cheshbon mechuvan, when the numbers don't add up nicely enough, even enough, off by one, or it's off by five, it's off by ten, you know. So let's add one called the kolel. Kolel, what's kolel? How does that work? Let's add the words. Let's add the letters. What? When are you allowed to do that? When are you not allowed to do that? You just play around with it enough until you get the result that you want. It seems manipulative. Hey, mosifan ha-kolel shel ha-teva, ulefamim kolel ha-osios, you start to add the letters. Valo im ha-kosev nischavin l'chach, if the pasuk wanted to say that, why couldn't Hashem make it more, you know, more precise? Did Hashem really write it in such a funny kind of way? Right. So I'm curious to hear your take on that question. Why did Hashem write it in such a funny way? Especially that last example. Right. I mean, to say that there's a code on the secrets of the universe, and that not everything is going to be written openly and accessible, right? That there's a secret society of people who have the keys to unlock all the mysteries of the Torah, that I can understand. But why are some areas of the Torah, you know, seem more far-fetched? Why are there some gematrias like, oh, that's a good gematria? That gematria is like, it's not as good. You know? What do you say? Yeah.
Life doesn't always work out so smooth. Like sometimes in life there is some gray area, there's some sort of like tension.
So I like that vart on life. I even like that vart in the first pasuk in Chumash. How does the Torah begin? Bereishis bara Elokim. Sofei Tevos? Emes. It's not in order. Bereishis ends with a Taf. Bara ends with an Aleph. Elokim ends with a Mem. Bereishis bara Elokim. Sofei Tevos Emes. Emes. It's not in order. So now let's start from the second word. Bara. Bereishis bara Elokim Es. Sofei Tevos? Emes. Now it's in order. No, what's the Vart? What did Tzaddikim say? What did Tzaddikim say? I used to say this Vart over from a Sefer called, I can't think what it's called, Shmuel Valkin, the author of the Sefer. Dvar Shmuel? No. Maybe Dvar Shmuel.
And it's the same thing, Bar Lakim Hasos also.
Right.
It's in order.
Right. The Divrei Chaim, there's a lot of Divrei Chaskel of Shinov. Divrei Cheskel, the son of Divrei Chaim, has this also. He says it in a Sefer on Chumash. Divrei Cheskel says this far. It's an earlier source. Divrei Cheskel says, why does it start off not in order and then it kind of straightens out? So So again, different tzaddikim can bring this far, but the basic idea is that MS at first is not always so clear, right? There's a truth that's always there, it's a little convoluted at first. It's not always so easy to identify the MS. That doesn't mean it's not true. You could be in a situation, right, or a predicament that you feel like, there's no MS here. There is MS there, it just needs to work itself out. So give it a little time, it'll straighten itself out. That's a great vart. Is that the pshat and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes the numbers a little messier? Again, is it the mashal that I said about Shidduchim, that sometimes you understand why the couple clicks and sometimes to an outsider you don't understand why it works, but it works? You can make it work? My brother always, like David always likes to say from the Belzer Rav. One of the Belzer Rebbes said that he loved learning pilpul. He loved learning Bederech HaPilpul. So he said, why? He said, because you have to learn how to analyze something in a very almost like convoluted kind of way. Why? Because there are certain Jews you look at, and you see right away, this is a Yid. This is a Yid. I can see right away. Pshat, Pashup, Pshat, this is a Yid. Sometimes you look at a Jew, you're like, that's a Yid? I don't see how this guy is such a Jew. Well, I know he's biologically Jewish, mother's Jewish, but he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, that's a Jew. So you have to sometimes do a little, you know, little gymnastics, little mental gymnastics to explain why that's a Jew. Right? So is that what Hashem wants? Hashem, Dafka made the Torah convoluted? Hashem, to say it that way, but for us to go digging? Yeah.
Maybe just to continue the mashal that Rebbe was giving, if you would see a couple like that, and then maybe you wouldn't understand it, then you would go to the Shadchan and set them up. The Shadchan explains there are certain things you don't understand about relationships, right, about setting people up, that the Shadchan does understand.
Right.
So, I mean, the more convoluted gematria is just because you have a smaller understanding of how gematria works.
Right, so I mean, maybe right, so let's just take a simple example, right? If something's off by one, which, by the way, if you look in the Stipler Gaon's Birchas Peretz, which is a Sefer on Chumash, and he has a whole section in the back on gematria, so in his introduction to the Birchas Peretz, so he writes there, the concept of off by one is really a halachic concept. Right? We see it all over the place. The Chazal always talk about Arbaim Chasar Achas. It's a funny way to talk, but even let's say, take a pasuk in Chumash. Arbaim Yakenu, you should give him 40 lashes. 40 means up to 40, really means 39. Right? He quotes other examples from Rishonim, he quotes Arasha, Shibol HaLeket, if I remember correctly. Examples where we see that Chazal use in Halacha the concept of being off by a little bit. Right? So, but is the idea of Kolel, is the idea that, you know, so you go to the Shadchan, and the Shadchan says, no, you're just looking at it very narrow. You're saying, like, you know, physically they look so different. He's so tall and she's so short, right? But you have to have a koilel, you have to have the bigger picture, right? You know, you're missing pieces. You don't understand all these other pieces that are not as obvious. Okay, so maybe.
The Sfarim usually say, Pshat, why does it call?
Yeah, it has the meaning of
Yeah, there's a reason for a koilel, right? And there are sources for koilel also. B'nai Yisachar is a famous, right? Right, exactly. What does the Pasuk say? It says, Ephraim u'Menashe, Keruven v'Shimon yihyuli. What does that mean? That Ephraim and Menashe are going to count as two shvatim. Right? Yosef becomes split into two shvatim. So Ephraim and Menashe are going to count as two shvatim, just like Reuven and Shimon. Ephraim and Menashe, Keruven v'Shimon yihyuli. So the gematria of Ephraim and Menashe is one off from Reuven and Shimon. But the pasuk says, Ephraim and Menashe is Keruven v'Shimon, even though it's off by one. So you see that off by one is the same. It's like the same thing. Okay. The remez to explain a remez. You know, but there's many sources and many ideas, and tzaddikim explain the concept of kolel and what is the concept of kolel, right? Again, if you don't understand it, it sounds far-fetched and it sounds forced and it sounds, and that's what Shaltiel, that's what the rationalist philosopher is troubled by, right? Why is it so not precise? Wouldn't we expect the Torah to be more precise? Okay, so let's see his defense. Yeah. No.
I understand like the argument for that there's layers and it's valuable and you have to protect it, but we already have pardes. Meaning like where does gematria fit in to that? And
part of the pardes. That's remes. It's one of the layers in the pardes. It's remes. No?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Again, one of the beautiful things about Torah is it operates on multiple levels. Right. One of my favorite varts is we say Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shlasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. Right? The Haggadah Shal Pesach. Baruch Hu, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us the Torah. No, what's right after that? Can I get Arba Banim Dibra Torah? Right? The four sons. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shena De'alishal. So what's the connection between those two things? Why do we say, thank you Hashem for the Torah, and then we say, you know, one is a Chacham, one is a Rasha? The answer is, because there's literally no book. There's literally no other book in mankind that operates like the Torah. It's an incredible thing to think that a child in first grade, or in kindergarten, or whatever age, he's getting his first Chumash, you know? He's in yeshiva, he's in school, he's getting his first Chumash. Right? And he's learning for the first time Bereishis Bara Elokim, or he's learning Noach, or he's learning Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. And the Gadol Hador, you know, Chaim Kanievsky's Atzal is sitting in Bnei Brak reading the same Chumash. Chacham Avad Yosef is sitting reading the same Chumash. The same exact pasuk that a little first grader is reading, Rav Itchemeyer is sitting and expounding the deeper secrets of creation. How could that be? Is that true about any other textbook, quotations, textbook in the world? Is a first grader's textbook, is my son's second grade math book useful to a college age student? There's nothing new for you to learn in there. I'm not going to sit there chazering over, 2 plus 2 is 4, I see it in a, that was the pshat of 2 plus 2 is 4, right? I mean, you can get philosophical about mathematics also, right? There's all sorts of wacky stuff about, you know, is 2 plus 2 really 4? You know, you can get fancy with that stuff also. But no one's going to walk around, right? You look like a clown. You're a young man walking out with a little kid's, you know, math book. Right? You're way past that. You're not going to read, you know, one of these little kids' board books. Right? It's not literature that's appropriate for someone your age. Right? But it's incredible to think that the same exact Chumash, the same 5,845 psukim, in this tiny little book is shava lechol nefesh. So, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Am Yisrael. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us the Torah. Can I get our Babadim? It works for a Chacham, it works for a Rasha, it works for a Tam, it works for a Shein HaDei Elisho. It works for everyone, Basher Husham, wherever they're up to in their religious journey. It's an amazing thing about the Torah. It's a massive, you know, chiddush of the Torah. Okay, so let's see how Yehoyada, let's see how the Mekubal, so to speak, wants to answer the question. Okay, so he says, let's start in Tanakh. Before we go to many, many places in the Gemara, where the Gemara uses gematrias and the Gemara uses ramazim and all sorts of things, let's just start in Tanakh. Okay, however, let's go to Sefer Daniel Parakai. Okay? There was a king, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Meroidach took over. After Evil Meroidach took over, so then Belshazzar took over. Belshazzar makes a big party, fifth parak of Sefer Daniel. He makes a big party, he takes the kalim of Beis HaMikdash, and he throws a big party. If you learn Maseches Megillah, it talks about, right, what was going on there and the trouble he got himself into. And what happens? All of a sudden, he starts to see this strange handwriting on the wall. And he freaks out. He's totally terrified by it. And everyone's trying to figure out what's the writing on the wall. It says the Pasuk, Parakei Pasuches, I'm just reading from Sefer Daniel. Kol Chakimei Ma'at, Daniel's very hard, it's very hard language. Kol Chakimei Malka. Right, he calls together Adayin Olin Kol Chakimei Malka. He calls together all of the Chachamim of the king of the land. Velo Chahalin Kisava Lemikre. But no one was able to read the writing on the wall. No one knows what is strange. No one can interpret it. Let's try to figure out what's the pshat. What's going on here? So all of a sudden, the queen comes forward and she says, "Listen, there's a guy. His name's Daniel. Daniel has the spirit of God. Daniel is a very wise man. Let's call Daniel. Let's see what he can do." Okay, so Daniel comes in, and the king says, "If you're good at interpreting, I'll give you all sorts of riches, and I'll bedeck you in beautiful garments and a golden chain around your neck. If you're able to interpret," he says, keep your possessions. Not interested in any of that, but I'm happy to try to interpret." And he starts off by giving a Musar Shmuz. He says, "You know, your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful person, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy, he started acting like an animal, running around like a Meshuggah person for a number of years, until he came to recognize that there's a Borei Olam, and when he humbled himself before God, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored his well-being." He says, "And you know about all that, you saw all that happen, and you didn't have the humility, you took the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash for your party, so you have no humility. So God is sending you a message, and I'm going to tell you what the message is, okay?" And he reads him the message. No, what's the message? Okay, so let's look back inside. We have it in front of us. So look what he says to him. Says Yehoyada, "K'meduma li, she'em ata hayisa nimsa b'shah shepirish Daniel leBelshazzar. If you would have been present at the time that Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall for Belshazzar, you know what you would have said, Shaltiel? You would have said that's far-fetched." What kind of crazy interpretations are you saying? You're making stuff up. Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel. Some of the great mysteries. Allusions to the Ketzer Yom at the end of days. If you would have been present when Daniel was interpreting for Belshazzar, and now he quotes the Pasuk, Dino Kisava Dirishim. That which is written, the way to understand it is, Mina Takel Ufarsin. That's the writing on the wall. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole discussion on Daf Chaf Beis, I believe Amar Aleph, where the Gemara says that everyone, there's different shitas on how to read the writing on the wall. Right? How is it written? Was it written this way? You have to read it up and down. Everyone's trying to figure out how to read the writing on the wall. But Daniel says to him, this phrase on the wall, Minei, Minei, Tekelu Farsin, here's the pshat. I'll tell you the pshat. Okay? Dino Pishar Milsa. This is the pshat. He says to him, I'm reading now from Sefer Daniel. He says, Minei, Memnon Aleph, you know what Minei means? Daniel says to him, Mino Eloko Malchuscha Vahashlama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Mino. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has counted your kingdom. Right? In other words, your days are counted. Your days are numbered. It's a sign from God. You're in big trouble. You're not going to last. And then it says on the wall, it says Tekel. Tekel is like election, and Tekel in Aramaic is like Shakel in Hebrew, way, measured. Tekilta b'moznaya, right? You've been weighed, so to speak, before God. V'hishtakachas chasir, and you're found lacking. You didn't pass the test, right? You don't deserve to continue. Peres, it says on the wall. Prisas malchuscha, your kingdom's going to be like a prusa, it's going to be crumbled up. V'yehivis lamadai uparas. That's going to be taken. This is going to be the end of the Babylonian rule, and now it's going to be given over to Paras Umadai, Madai Uparas. Okay? And when Belshazzar, surprisingly enough, heard this, right? He didn't say to Daniel, off with your head for slandering me. He said, okay, you said MS, and he rewarded him. He gave him all the things that Daniel said he didn't want from him. Right? And then Parakeh concludes, Beibalelya Kitil Belshazzar Malka Kasta. On that very night, Belshazzar, Kasti king, was slain. He was murdered that very night. Okay, so says Yehoyada. So if you would have been there when Daniel's offering this interpretation, right, what would you have said? You probably would have said, "What are you talking about?" Right, Hayisa Machzivo. You would have denied it. Umavatal Dvarav. You would have said, Daniel, you said, "What are you saying? All these crazy things." But Omrcha de Perusha lo Yitachen. It can't be. It doesn't make sense. You would have challenged the whole thing. The Eich Efshar, the Min Hashamayim Yochicho Al Pi Adrachem Eilu. What kind of message? If Hashem wants to tell Belshazzar that you don't have humility and you deserve to be killed, God should have said you don't have humility, you deserve to be killed. Why is Hashem talking funny? What's this handwriting on the wall? Sharei Oso Ksav Al Yedei Tziruf Hayakasuv, because that writing itself was subject to interpretation. Right, one way to read it was that it was written. In one direction, he had to read it, you know, top to bottom, right? So it was written, Mamtos Ninachve Aralan, Alaron. Right? And you have to read it top to bottom. Minei, Takel, you have to, right? So you would have said, what is this? What kind of mystery is this, you know? It's like an escape room or something. You're trying to, like, figure out how to crack the code. What is this? Right? Different opinions of the Gemara Sanhedrin. Was written like this, you have to read it like this. Right? Different shitas in the Gemara, exactly what was going on. But you would have said it was far-fetched. You would have said the whole thing is far-fetched. Why is God communicating in that way? Avala emes yoredarko. So again, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chappes. Avala emes yoredarko. She'ilu adrachim heimikubalim. But the truth of the matter is, again, it's not all random. There's rules. We have a mesorah. Right? Going back to the earlier parts of the Sefer that we learned together, right? When he says, like, where do these ideas come from? What do you mean? There's a mesorah. There are rules. The rules weren't available to everyone in the same way that other rules of Torah were. Okay, but as he told us the best, you're basically challenging, you know, all the same Gedolei HaRishonim who teach us halacha are the same personalities who passed on the Mesorah of Kabbalah. So again, the emes is that there's a Kabbalah in how these things work. V'ksasim huskru b'gemara, and some of the keys to unlock different doors are found in the Gemara. Could go in Alpha Beisa Da'atbash. So, for example, the Gemara discusses Atbash. What's Atbash? Where Aleph, the first letter of the alphabet, is interchanged with the last letter, and Beis with the second to last letter. Right? That's one technique. Or how about Aleph Ches Samach, Beis tes ayin. Right? Divide up the letters into clusters of three, right? With spacing of seven letters in between. Okay, interesting technique. Right? Or album. You divide the alphabet in half, and you say the first letter. If the first group is, you know, aleph in the first group, beis in the second group, lamed in the first group, mem in the second group, in that order. All sorts of different techniques. But Maseches Shabbos, daf kuf dalet amud aleph. So Chazal, again, do you believe in Chazal or do you not believe in Chazal? Again, this is not, these are not like later ideas that people started making up on their own. This is in the same Gemaras that we learn, the same Rishonim that we learn. When the pasuk says regarding, right, again, a very hard pasuk, very difficult pasuk, Dini Maseches Pesachim. Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu. So ach is coming to be mamait. B'yom harishon tashbisu. What, on the first day of Pesach, that's when you get rid of your chametz? So it must be b'yom rishon means erev Pesach. B'yom rishon means erev Pesach. What are you talking about? And ach comes to divide the day in half. And Rashi says a wild thing. Rashi says, using one of the techniques of the arrangements of the letters, ach is the same thing as chetz. Why? Because there's a system of arranging letters, and chetz means to divide. So from the midway point of Erev Pesach, you have to get rid of your chametz. Rashi, come on, Rashi. Rashi, yeah? The same Rashi who says, I think it's Bereishis Parak Gimel, that I'm only here to explain the pshat. So that's a rule in Chumash, but not in Gemara. In Gemara, you could say wacky things. All of a sudden, Rashi says far-fetched things. The Rashi is so sensitive to saying the pshat. All of a sudden, Rashi says, yeah, because there's a system of letters, Aleph Ches Samach, Beis Tes Ayin, follow the pattern. Yeah, it'll be Gimel Yud Pei, Dalid Chaf Tzadi. So Ach, Aleph Chaf could be the same thing as what? As Ches Tzadi. So Ach means Chet. So divide Erev Pesach in half, and that's when you have to get rid of your chametz. Really? Rashi? Really? Far-fetched. It's Rashi. We can throw out Rashi. Val Yidei Alpha Beisa Da'at Bach. How about the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Nun Beis? The Gemara has another, again, all these different techniques, right? Different codes, different systems, different rules. Something called Atbach. That in Atbach, Minon is Sahada. The Gemara says, if a person gives into his Yetzahara, so then the Minon is going to come after him. What's Minon? Right, Minon, using, again, this interchanging of letters called Atbach, Minon comes out the letter Sahada, and Sahadi in Aramaic means a witness. So if you give it to your Yetzahara, then we're going to testify against you and you're going to get in trouble in the Olam Habas. Okay. Again, Gemaras. Gam Shem Shel Mem Beis Osios. The 42-letter name of Hashem, what we usually call Anabakalach. You know how complicated it is? I mean, there's different ways to do it. But you know how complicated it is to get those letters of Anabakalach, Gedulas Yemincha, Tatar Tzrura, right? That's the Rashi Tevos of Aleph Beis Gil, Anabakalach, Gedulas Yemincha. You know how complicated it is to get those 42 letters? She'arichu b'gemara perak dalad dekedushin b'mayilis hayodo. The Gemara Kedushin says a person who knows the secret 42-letter name of Hashem, ooh, that's very chashuv. It's very chashuv, or you're making stuff up? Which is it? It's a high madrega. Hinehu yotze mi pasuk, mi bereshis ad, the base of the word vavohu. If you count the 42 letters from bereshis to vavohu, and you do all sorts of manipulative things with each of those letters, and like every letter is like a different technique to bring out a letter, you'll get the 42 letters of Anabakalach. Ditmuras haosios al pi alpha besos yaduos mekubalos, as is found in the Sefer Pardes Yirmon, very complicated calculations. It's like each letter is like a totally different technique to extract the corresponding letter. Right? But it's a very high thing to know that. It's a very lofty thing. The Gemara says it's a lofty. It doesn't just say in Kabbalistic Svarim it's a chashuv thing to know that. It says in the Gemara that a person who knows that's a chashuv thing. Or how about next week's Parsha? We have one coming up. V'chein Shem Shel Ayin Beis Tevos. The 72-part name of Hashem. I call it 72-part as opposed to 72 letters because it's made up of three psukim in a row. Each pasuk has 72 letters in it. And the way to get these little three-letter names of Hashem is you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and then the first letter of the third pasuk. And those three letters make up a little miniature name of Hashem. They do it again. You take the second letter of the first pasuk, the second to last letter of the second pasuk, and the second letter of the third pasuk. Three psukim. Right? Yotze mishlosh psukim vayisa vayavo vayeh. three psukim in a row, as Klal Yisrael are getting ready to get out of Mitzrayim once for all, Kriyas Yamsuf, three psukim in a row with 72 letters, and you do this funny thing and you extract the 72-part letter name of God. Right? Delokim os achas mikol pasuk, you take one letter from each pasuk and you combine it with the other ones, umitzarfum osol leteva achas, and then you make a little name of Hashem. Yeah? When we say Ona Hashem Hoshiyana, Aleph Nun Aleph is one of those three letter names of Hashem. Or the Gemara in Sukkah talks about it, right? Ani Vaho Hoshiyana. Aleph Nun Yud Ani, which means I, is also a name of God. Okay, I'm not going to say it again. Aleph Nun Yud is a name of Hashem. Right? Vav He Vav, right, is a name of Hashem. They're also words, you can interpret them as words. But look at Rashi in Maseches Sukkah. Rashi talks about the 72 letter secret name of Hashem. And now here's the Gemara that I referenced earlier with the Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Hey, Amru, Yodeya Haya Betzalel, Litzarif Osios, Shebehem Nivro Shemaim Bar. It's a very important Gemara. That when Betzalel was creating the Mishkan, that place of divine presence, he was able to make it in a wondrous way. You know why? Because he knew how to Litzarif Osios, he knew how to combine the letters in the same way that Hashem created Shemaim Varetz. That's what the Maggid of Mezrich says, Bereishis Bar Elokim. What's the next word? Eight. S. Right? Hashem created Bereishis Bar Elokim. The first thing Hashem created was S, Aleph through Tav. The 22 letters of the alphabet are the building blocks of creation. And from that Hashem made everything. This table is made up of Shin, Lamed, Ches, and Nun. Shulchan. That's what it's made up of. I don't see it that way. I see it made of wood. But what it's really made up of is letters of his letters. Those are the building blocks of creation. And a person who understands that can unlock the power of creation. Uvemedrash Tehillim Mizmor Gimel Amru Lo Nitnu Parshios Eshel Torah Ala Seder. Listen to this one. Chazal say that the Torah was dafka scrambled intentionally. You know why? Because the Torah is such a Torah Schaim. It's so alive. Sheol Moli Nitnu Ala Seder. If the Torah had been given an order, Kol Mishu Kori Behem Yochel Lahachios Mesim. You would read the Torah and you could create Tchias Mesim. So Hashem had to mix it up a little bit. Hashem had to intentionally hide the codes of creation. Lefichach nis'alim sidura shel Torah. Hashem hid the order of the Torah. Shenamar umi kamoni yikra v'yagida v'yarcha li misume am olam. Was that a pasuk? Pasuk in Yeshaya. Okay? So Hashem mixed up the Torah. Another comment in the Medrash. Od Amru. Right? The way of life has to be properly measured. Na'u maglosel lo teda, says the Medrash. Mitutolim heim shvileha shel Torah. The pathways of Torah are intentionally windy, crooked, confusing. Shel mala yodu habrio sidra shel Torah. Because if the world would know the order of Torah, hayodim lerafos asacholim ulahachios asamesim. You can cure any illness. You can bring a person back from the dead. Yeah.
Last year in Chicago, they brought us to Aish, and there was this guy talking to us about how they hooked up a computer, like a bunch of these computers to the Torah, and they found like...
Torah codes. Bible codes.
They say they found like all of them, but like, wouldn't them finding all this bring to Tehillim Etim?
No, they don't know how to rearrange the whole Torah. We don't know the primordial order of Torah. You find patterns, you find Ramazim. Some people are into it, some people are not. I happen to not be so into it. You guys into it? Bible codes?
That's cool. How it's proving, like, proving the Torah through it, or just...
First of all, I don't think it's a good way to prove the Torah. Yeah.
Apparently they did it with Moby Dick, and it worked.
Yes, it's like random things.
He was showing us, like, 9/11, he was, like, going...
Yeah, they did.
They had their classic...
Oh, that's what it is?
All sorts of things.
They have, like, vaccines that they show, like, certain vaccine names of, like, certain diseases that they match.
It's intense.
For someone who's super into this, I'm super not into that. I don't know what, because I want to explain why I'm not into that. I don't even know why I'm not into that. Because it's not how we do this. There's rules. There's rules. That's what I'm saying. There's rules. You have to study what the tzaddikim did. You have to study. People get very, sometimes people start to get into the world of gematria. They start saying, well, there's a way, it's very nuanced. It's hard to say. But when you spend time with reading the svarim that do it, and the tzaddikim would do it, and you meet the living tzaddikim who are osik in these things, you realize you can't start saying, you know...
I
You find, you know, Osama bin Laden, you ask for his name of the Torah. I'm not saying it's not real. I don't want to go so far as to say it's not real because everything's real. Because Baruch Hu could do anything. So I'm not saying that there's nothing to it, but I don't know. I just don't think that's how it's supposed to be used. Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I found it a little, my parents like.
It's a little gimmicky, and I don't think it's like the aleph of selling the Torah to someone. I mean, if someone comes to me and says, like, prove to me that there's a God, prove me the Torah, I'm like, it's too sticky. It's not, it's, right, it's not, it's...
Like how, the magicians, they were trying, right? They were able to manipulate reality. They somehow, in some way, in touch with, the Torah, since where they knew kind of,
It's the other side of it. It's what we would call the sitra achra, right? It's the other side. Maybe there's kochos in the world that can be manipulated a person could tap into things and do it in a way that's a perversion of, right? Meaning it's everything. I mean, that's what the Gemara says about the Torah itself. The Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, the Torah itself, if studied properly, is a sam chaim, is an elixir of life, or it's a sam misa, or it's poison. Right? I mean, Torah can be made into a weapon. It can be abused. It can be misused. It can be falsely interpreted. All right, you can dafka take a pasuk that says this is usur and say I'll show you how this means that it's mutter. So you know that's part of the responsibility of interpreting the Torah in an authentic way. No.
I was thinking when you were talking about the whole story of Daniel and stuff, I kept thinking of parallels to Yosef, direct parallels, the whole interpretation and be from God and everything, and I was thinking maybe there was some connection, there's rules with dreaming also or whatnot that I was thinking it was gonna somehow bring it up, but it just never brought anything up about Yosef. The whole story literally paralleled it to the T, everything that happened, even with Paro not accepting Hashem, and then they don't, he accepts him, but his heart was hardened, and then only once then it was on her.
It's right. Yeah,
it's a big academic study. Yosef and Daniel.
Yeah.
And literally, 10 right before this class, I had an assignment, Parak Aleph through Vov and Daniel.
Oh,
as soon as I got here, I finished A and Vov. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
There you go.
Are there rules to dreams also?
There's rules to everything. I always come back, when Rav Shechter says, right, not everyone who read the Gemara is entitled to an opinion, meaning, you have to be a certain type of person. Not anyone can just... The Chazon Ish didn't write a commentary on Tanakh. The Chazon Ish was... Gadol Ador. He felt, I don't know, I'm not Roy Lakach. I'm sure he had what to say. I mean, we have collected teachings of the Chazon Ish, but he didn't sit down and write. So anytime, I think about the Chazon Ish all the... I think about that statement all the time. Anytime I want to say a var, I have to check myself a little bit. Hold on a second. Do you have? And we should feel that we have a right to say chidush Torah. But we have to do it with such incredible humility to realize that I got to know my place. You know, you find a good gematria, a good remez. Okay, you're not the bnei yisachar all of a sudden. You know, you're not the bluzhaver. You're not. It doesn't make you automatically. You know, you have to say thank you to a kadosh baruch hu. If you ever heard of Avram Shor, who says incredible gematrias, you ever hear he says, he always says, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a matana. Hashem gave me a matana, Hashem gave me a gift, and he put an idea in my head. Right? We have to have with a lot of humility. And you dive in that hopefully what you're saying is emistic. I don't know, it's a delicate thing. Yeah?
The Nesiv says, Rukibi Eger, reading his Trubas are the biggest muster.
Yeah.
If Rebbe looks in the Gilyan Ashas in the beginning of Gittin,
yeah,
when he has Kash on Tosos, he says, Lo Zachisi Lahavin. Right. So there was no Kash on Tosos.
Right. It's
Azin Zocha to be made. It says, Hashem Yareina.
Right. Have the humility to realize.
The biography letter, right? That letter with the anti-biographies. Yeah. He says, instead, just read the Riki Vager and get him a start of that.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, down to Merome Sade.
Merome Sade, right? Yeah.
He said in Berlin about
that my father said that you should read Rabbi Kivager just to humble yourself.
So they want him to write a biography.
You're saying to be humbled by his brilliance?
Rabbi Kivager say sorry.
Or to hear him to hear such a big person admit they don't know. Isn't Rashi more than 70 times in Chumash says? You know, I don't know. Why'd Rashi have to write that? Okay, because he's honest, that's why. And honest people write honest things, yeah. Well. Okay, so the Torah had to hide a lot of its secrets, right? The Torah doesn't want us to access the Tchiyas HaMeisim so easily. But again, these are all Chazal. All right, let's finish up, because I want to let the people go to Marv at 9 o'clock if you want. I'd like to myself. V'chein yesh kama mamari Chazal hamorim bebirur, ki zohi darcha shel Torah. And again, there are many mamari Chazal that say, this is the way of Torah, lirmos Yisrael, pi adrachim halalu, to allude to its secrets in these ways. Uvachlal amru ki kol haTorah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Ramban writes in his introduction to Chumash, right? The Torah from beginning to end is really what? Is really the entire thing is the name of Hashem, or names of Hashem. Right? We read it in Bereishis Bara Elokim, we read it as words that form sentences and ideas. But you can break up the Torah in a different way and make it into names of God. Okay, umasha amarta shu davar zar neged einecha shaTorah tisparish v'tuvan al pi adrachim halalu. And now what you say, this is such, again, these are such strange methodologies to extract concepts and ideas in the Torah. So he writes, he says, Al tisma ala chefetz. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Right? Don't be so bothered by this. Right? Don't let it be such a source of wonder to you. Why? Ki abaki b'sisrei haTorah u'mevin osam be'etzem, yavin be'emes ki hutzur chadar liosken. And a person who really understands the system knows it has to be this way. That every, again, different mechanisms and techniques are called for as security measures to protect the secrets of the Torah, right? And it has to be this way. And there's, you know, you could have a, you know, a very good key, but if it's for the wrong door, it's not going to unlock. You gotta have the right keys to unlock the right doors. Yeah. And he ends. He says, "Ki yesh sodos tluyos betevos aksuvos apasakil chasan." Sometimes, again, the secrets are in the words of the Pasuk. V'yesh b'tevos hayotzes mirashi tevos, v'sofei tevos b'yosher. Sometimes it's the first letters, the last letters in order. Sometimes it's l'mafreya. I always say, I love that, maybe I mentioned this in one of the earlier shiurim. When you have like a rashi tevos or a sofei tevos that's out of order, right? And a person's like, well, what? Like, I see all the letters there, but it's not in order. So I always say, in mathematics, it's exactly the same thing. When you're a little kid, you do a math problem, you read it in a linear fashion, right? But once you start mixing in, you know, brackets and variables and this, right? There's an order of operations. You don't just do it in order. High-level math, you jump around. There's a way to, again, how to explain the remez, why the letters are in that order, okay. But there's a reason for it. V'yesh b'gamachios, v'yesh b'tmuros, the alpha basal shonos, hakol kafi inyan hasorahu. Each secret has a different way of unlocking it. It means something when the letters are precisely aligned and they add up exactly. There's a reason to sometimes add a kolo. We added the kolo on the way down to Mitzrayim. It says there were 70 souls who went down to Mitzrayim. They're really only 69. Count up the pasuk, it's only 69. Who's number 70? Right, maybe it's Uchevet, maybe it's Hashem. Right. Moshe Wolfson has a whole mimer about that. Right, what are all those different opinions? Different opinions. Who's number 70? Right, and how does that relate to the concept of kola? Why does the Torah say 70? Does the Torah round up? Is that, you know, is that the pashup shot? What does all this mean? But again, the point is we have to have humility, and I think that's one of the most important reasons I wanted to learn this. To just realize there's a lot that we don't know. And I'll tell you an amazing story in 1 second that just popped in my head. Kimasha yirmos achezban ha-musafi. That which we, again, we have all these different forms of additions and additives. Dehainu shemosif and akola lo yirmaz oso cheshbon hachrachi. Dehainu hameduktak b'chivon. Sometimes there's something that has to come out that way that's not alluded to in the precise calculation. Okay, ki yadua l'mi shehemek b'chachma shakol miyusar b'tamo. And again, everything is the way that it's supposed to be. So he concludes. V'im elu hadrachim heimzarim etzal hatipesh. And if again, ends with a little muster. And if these ideas sound foreign to the person who's uneducated, right? As he spoke about in earlier passages, to the uninitiated, everything sounds strange. Right? When he spoke about the Rambam's explanations of the positioning of the sun and the moon and the stars, is also strange until you know what's going on. Shalota mesek chachmas haTorah hasn't tasted the sweetness, the mesikos of the chachmas haTorah. Manucho lasos lo yelich v'yischakem v'azai yedabemus. Right, so go study, and then you'll know the truth. Ki yasharim darchei Hashem, tzadikim yelchu bam, uposhim yichashlu bam. Pasuk in Hosea. Right? That those who, Hashem's ways are straight, Hashem's ways are proper, and we're the ones who are a little bit crooked, a little bit off. So I'll just be messiah very quickly. That I was talking to someone recently, who's developed a nice relationship with a very chashuv gadol in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yisrael Meir Druck. Rav Druck, I was heard of Rav Druck. Druck's an amazing person. Rav Druck learned b'chavrusa with Rav Chaim Kanievsky for 32 years. I actually recently heard the story how they first came to learn together. Rav Druck, when he was in yeshiva as a younger man, so he wrote a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky asking him all sorts of questions on a particular topic. So Rav Chaim was very nispal from his questions, and he wrote back. He said, you know, if you have a little free time during yeshiva, so come visit me. Needless to say, he made time in his busy schedule to come to speak to Rav Chaim. And he came to Rav Chaim, so let's learn the sugya together. So they sat and they learned together, and Rav Chaim, I guess, liked Rav Druck as a chavrusa, and he said, okay, whenever you have free time, you know, come visit me. So they used to learn for 32 years. Every Monday and Thursday, they would learn for about a half hour. No one knew exactly what they learned. Closed door, learning, okay. Anyways, Rav Druck is a very mysterious person. Rav Druck sees things that regular people don't see. I've heard many, many stories. He reads Shemos. He's the real deal. I've heard really incredible stories. But I'll just tell you one interesting thing that someone who's developed a close kesher with Rav Druck told me recently. He said, you know, when I go to Rav Druck, it's not like the hocus pocus stuff that does it for me. He tells me all sorts of crazy things about it. He looks at the names, he says this kid and that kid, and he tells me things that I've never told anyone, and he like knows it, like Mamish knows it. And he told me a lot of really wild stories. He's like, but every time I leave Rav Druck, my emuna is strengthened. You know why? Because it reminds me, I thought this was such an insightful way to say it. It reminds me that there are things that I can't see, and just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Meaning, I read the pasuk and I see, you know, Ve'elish Mos B'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the family of Yaakov that came to Mitzrayim. But a tzaddik looks at that pasuk and he sees all sorts of things that regular people can't see. And that's a big chizik for us, you know? So I don't have to, again, he's writing Yoda saying, go get yourself an education. Have the humility to ask and to learn slowly. Don't assume just because you don't get it yet that it's not real, that it's not true. So I'll just tell you, there's one awesome story that he told me. Rav Druck, unfortunately, lost a child at one point in his life. And a very young child. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky came to pay a Shiva call. And he said to Rav Druck, he said, you don't have to sit Shiva. Sorry, what? Rav Chaim said, you don't have to sit Shiva? I see your son's neshama. It's in the highest place in Shemayim. Shiva's over. Like that? No Shiva, no Shloshim, nothing. Go back to regular. Okay? Gadol HaDor says, so that's what you do. So he came to learn with Rav Chaim a few days later. And Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Zatzal, Alei Shalom, said to him, says Rav Druck, I'm sorry, I wanted to pay a shiva call. My husband like canceled the shiva, so I didn't have a chance to. But she said, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And she said, a Kodesh Baruch Hu should pay you back double. So Chaim chuckled, he smiled, and he said, why only double? Why only double? He said, 1 year later, Rav Druck's wife had triplets. Wow. She had triplets. There's people who see things that we can't see. Chaim Kanievsky walks in and says, Shiva's canceled, I see your son's neshama's in a high place. What does that mean? But we have to have the humility to look at every letter of the Torah, and there's so many ways to look at it, right? And we have to daven that we should be zochet to see. Okay. To be continued. Shkoyach. There's Marv.